All right. Should I start from the beginning? What was in the beginning? Yeah. All right. Let's have a look in second chapter in Genesis. Second chapter in Genesis, verse 7. We read 10 verses. So I've put several significant stuff in my presentation, not everything, but I think you can look through that story in your devices or Bibles. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of tree grown out of the ground, tree that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's our two trees which we are talking about. And in the 15th verse it is said, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So this is a story of commandment which God made for Adam and Eve. We know that Adam was created as the first human being, and then Eve was made later, but the commandment was for both of them. For both of them, so it was quite simple. It is like, you know, when we sometimes tell to our kids, maybe, or to our relative, that you may do everything, you may eat everything in the cupboard, in the fridge, but don't take that piece of cake because we prepared it for something else, for your birthday, for some guest gonna come into our house or whatever. Or you can go everywhere around the house, but don't go out the gate. Just the simple, don't go out, don't do something very small. Everything is possible, everything is allowed, but only one thing was prohibited. We know the story that they made a wrong decision. So what I wanted to say first, is how did human appear? How did humans appear? So it is said that in first chapter, we can have a look at a couple of verses as well. In first chapter of Genesis, in 26 verse, it is said that God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the first fish and the sea and the birds and the sky, all the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the living creatures that moves on the ground. So, of all gods created, only man is said to be created in his image and likeness. Only man. That's why we have some difference from animals. That's why, maybe it's not a good news for someone, that our gods, cats and dogs, maybe they won't be in paradise with us, or maybe it would be restored somehow, like a miracle for us. But that command was for human beings, not for animals. not for angels even. That's why angels can't achieve salvation as we can, because they are not human beings. They are different type of creatures. God does not possess a physical body, for he is a spirit. We know that in John 4 said that yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. And the next verse is said, God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in the truth. So God has no body as we have. He is a spirit. That's why he's looking worshippers in the spirit and truth. It's explanation, and it came only in the New Testament. And it is important. And it is important for us to, when we read in that story, when we see how did Adam and Eve acted, how did they fall, so we should make a conclusion and act in another way. Speaking of the image and likeness of God means that the man was created in the moral and spiritual likeness of God, because he has no flesh, he has no body like we have. So what kind of likeness? What kind of image? We may say that we are similar to him, we like him in moral and spiritual likeness, because he is a spirit. That's why he gave to us Holy Spirit to be connected to him. When God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, this means that God intends to create a creature that resembles him. Thus, man created by God in some way reflects God. Thus, the following can be said about a man. Man is a spiritual being dwelling in a physical shell. Our body is well suited for the earth, but it must be redeemed and glorified to enable it to properly relate to God. As it is said in the New Testament later in 1 Corinthians 15, it said, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and the star differs from star in splendor. So, will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in nature body, it is raised in a spiritual body. If there is a nature body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. So there is a comparison between Christ and Adam. In that sense, we maybe should make a conclusion that Adam and Eve, it's not like a group of people. Sometimes some scientists, they want to say that that story is not the truth, because it's not convenient to put it in modern science. But many things couldn't be understandable for the science. What Jesus made, how did he do, how did he walk? He raised from the dead, actually, like a last approval of his supernaturality. So that's why I think New Testament and Old Testament, they are all together, and maybe the best way to think that Adam and Eve, they were real creatures, one person, not just some group of people. Like on behalf of them. That's why for us as a Christians, we have a much higher priority to have a Holy Spirit and to have a connection with God. And we see that the story with Adam and Eve, it shows us that they failed. They failed because of some wrong decisions they made. When we see the story of how did they fall, then let's have a look a little bit in the third chapter. We read five verses from the third chapter in Genesis. And now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals of the God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So it was like a commercial from the serpent, and we know that behind that serpent it was Satan. So when we see, according to the scripture, God is creator of all things. He created everything, it said, very good. Could God create such a terrible evil as a sin? Because they sinned. Where did they find that sin? Before discussing that the origin of sin, we must clearly understand that the God himself never sinned, that the sin is against his nature. He did not insert any to sin. Therefore, God is not responsible for sin. To blame God for sin would be to undermine God's attitudes. God did not create sin because sin is not something created, but merely the absence of good. Sin is a destruction and a flaw in perfect goodness. So sin is nothing, some like an item. It's not something that we can grab. Sin is a destruction and a flaw in a perfect goodness. When something not whole, it's not perfect already. According to scripture, angels sinned and humans sinned voluntarily, but we wouldn't be wrong to assert that evil force equal in power to God exists in the world, and that is has driven humans and angels to sin. We also shouldn't think that the sin somehow surprised God, challenged his omnipotence, or infringed his right to control the entire world. God foreknew the sin would enter the world through free choice, the will of moral responsibility, creativity. However, God did not define sin. Even before human disobedience, sin manifested itself in the angelic realm after the fall of Satan and the demons. As for humanity, the first to remove it, those who knew sin, were Adam and Eve in the garden. I counted, according to first three chapters, that Adam and Eve fall during 130 years after creation. It could be counted clearly, I just do not want to explain right now. So a little bit, approximately 100 years, no more, left after creation, and all creatures, all I mean angels and human beings, they fell. And it's like said in, "For never was a story of more war than this of whom? of Adam and Eve in our sins. It's a pity that we are reading that story and we now have consequences. We have fallen nature, and every human being which would be born needs someone who will restore them. Someone, I mean Jesus, because without Jesus, there is no other way to get into heaven. There is no other name. Maybe it's not convenient to hear for some other religions, but there is no other name. And what is that name? It's not Muhammad, it's not Krishna, Vishnu, and other philosophers or teachers. It's only Jesus. That's why it is important for us when we see that story at the beginning, and we see that it was two trees, and we see that it was freedom for them to choose. And we have that freedom today to choose. We have two trees in our life. We have those two trees every day. And every day, maybe every time, maybe every second, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our words even, we have a temptation to grab that fruit, which we understand that we shouldn't. But reading that story, we understand that how far went God to save us, to give us ability to grab that fruit from the tree of life. Now, we, in some manner, we got that fruit from the tree of life. It is a salvation from Jesus' hands. It is His redemption, His reconciliation He made for us. But we still may be in the same Eden garden, and we are looking and at those trees. And now in our world there are a lot of those trees, a lot of temptations around us. And when we went out from our hall, we will have that temptation to maybe even today, tomorrow, this week, next week, entire life. But the thing is, when we got that fruit from tree of life, we would never die. It's a promise. It's Jesus' promise. It's not because we are perfect. And Adam and Eve, maybe, they thought that they could cope, but they couldn't. We see that it looks like so easy. They were fallen, but for us it is everyday challenge, everyday fight. The third thing I wanted to share with you is the time of fall a little bit. So, but the time of which is described in this chapter, which we just read in the third chapter of Genesis. Satan had sinned, and God allowed him to become an instrument to test the man's faith. Satan took the form of the serpent and appeared before Eve. So when, as a preparation, he attacked the wisdom contained in the word, and he attacked the truth contained in the word, and he attacked the will of God contained in the word. When we see in the third chapter, sixth verse, when the woman saw that the fruit is fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Why? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me," here a phrase, "she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you had done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your old belly, and you will eat dust all the day of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." I just want to emphasize here in this verse, very important thing, when we can miss it while reading, because it said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman." It means not general woman. It means certain woman. So here is a prophecy about some woman in the future will make something, will destroy him. And we know, according to New Testament, that Jesus Christ came through woman only, without any participation of man. And here is a prophecy about that, we may carefully say it. So, 16th verse said, "To woman he said, 'I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to whom? To your wife, and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed you is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it, and all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants for the field. But this way, for your bow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you will return.'" It's very sad from one side that both of them, they made that wrong decision and grabbed from the that tree, which was commented clearly, maybe several times. Maybe it was said second time when the Eve appeared after Adam. But both of them, they made it. And we see that their eyes were opened when both of them made that decision, wrong decision. So Satan's action was, he raised doubts about the truth of God, God's word, contained in the world. He didn't say completely wrong, he said partially wrong. It's important conclusion for our application that sometimes we should fight not with big giant sin, It is pleasant. It is comfortable to sin. It is, we like it. It's not something terrible and, you know, that's why for us it's a lesson to be careful when we listen any other messages, especially related to which try to ruin our faith, some videos, some YouTube videos or whatever, especially in the school, in college and university, we will always be ready to fight and be careful with listening and be careful with accepting everything which is going to be said, because around us a lot of people who don't believe the scripture, they don't accept it, they don't understand it clearly. That's why they will try to explain everything around the world according to what? According to brain only, without spirit, without that ancient knowledge in the Bible. That's why we should be careful, and that's why it's in Deuteronomy that we should teach. And it is so good that we have children lessons during our service that we can share with our kids while they are growing. With what? With our faith, with what we understood from the Bible, what we should you know, hand over to them. About the coming sin, according to scripture which we recently read, Eve was deceived, but Adam ate knowledgely. It said in New Testament, I won't read it right now because of a lot of verses. So from one side, it was we don't know, frankly speaking, why did Satan came especially to Eve. But he came to Eve for some reason. And he was talking to Eve, and she accepted that idea. She accepted that idea to grab that fruit and to fall. But furthermore, she gave it to his husband. And it said, very important thing, that he was where? He was there. Some theologian, they said that actually they were standing all together, but sometimes, like, man could not so proactive, could be not so have maybe leaderships in his character, or try to hide it, those leadership characters inside of us. We may try to, you may go, you know, after you. It's a pity that Adam didn't stop her. He did not. He was there. It's said in Bible, he was there, but he was silent. He was looking, let's have a look. What's going to be next? It's our assumption, but you know, that's why for our application, later on, God said that the man should rule over the wife, and he is responsible, frankly speaking, for the family. That's why for the man, for every brother, it is important to be a priest in the family, to be a little bit responsible what is coming into our family, into our wife, ears, eyes, our children's, other stuff. Because he was made first and he was responsible, number one. Yes, both of them, they fell. And both of them are responsible. And because maybe, because he was more responsible than Eve, that's why God gave to women opportunity of bringing Savior into our world. It is said in New Testament, in 1 Timothy 2nd chapter, that there is a new opportunity, there is a rehabilitation of women, that they brought salvation, that they brought Savior Jesus Christ in this world. When Adam and Eve were given a choice during temptation, they sinned, and this made them sinners by nature, meaning they holy, sinless, and innocent nature disappeared. Through their ability to choose free will, sin entered the human world. Sin was in Satan and then entered man. The sin of the first human, like the sin of the devil, had a devastating impact on others. The root of sin is pride. For example, the desire to be a god. The primary characteristic of sin is deception. The reason, some theologians said that the main reason why Satan had fallen is pride. Only this main thing. And he tried to advertise that prideness for Eve. And we remember what he said. And she decided to try. What, because it was good to see, it was given what? Knowledge, yeah? Very basic things. Why not? Yeah? But in our life, we have some things that, from human perspective, from our culture, it's okay. It's normal. But from God's perspective, it's not normal. It's sin. That's why from time to time, what we are doing or what we are trying to reject in our jobs, in our studying, in our neighborship, in our friendship, when they say something that let's do this stuff or that stuff. And everyone does that this thing. And we should remember, here is two trees. One tree is good tree, another tree with that bad fruits. And we should choose. And we are reading that, we are talking about that to mobilize us, to memorize us, that it is important for us to be in a good spiritual condition. In my life, when I graduated from university, all of my classmates from my group, they decided to give some money to our teacher that we should graduate well. Everyone should graduate well. So they said, all of us, we decided that we will give some cash to our teacher. You don't understand what I'm talking about. I understand it. But in some countries, it's legal, almost legal. So I've got it several times a problem during my examination when a teacher in front of me sitting and looking at me and waiting, and I was waiting. and at the end, I understood. You know, I was Christian only several years. And final exam. Is it so important just to give some cash? 20, for example, 20 pounds. Yeah, it's not so big. And everything was gonna be fine. Everyone gonna be happy. My classmates, teacher, yeah, and maybe I won't be a little bit disappointed, but not so much. But at that time I remember that, you know, if in small things we will decide to sin, then when big sin come, yeah, we will sin as well. That's why I said, you know, I understand everything. I understand your worries. I understand that I am only one. I was only one Christian in the group, but I can't do it. I'm so sorry. I said, why did I say that? I'm so sorry. But I felt that inconvenience that everyone go there and I should go there. And their future maybe depends on my decision, depended on my decision. But it wasn't, they paid and it was everything fine with them. And I didn't pay and it was everything fine with me. I graduated well, but only one person who didn't pay, you know. That's why in our life we always will have that temptation. And that temptation could be related to maybe specific thing in our character. Because Satan came to Eve because of some things he could advertise to her. Maybe his message couldn't work with Adam. That's why he chose Eve. But according to Adam, what God said to him, what was punishment? He said that you listened not to me, in brackets, but to your wife. It is well to listen our wives from time to time. Yeah, it's good to be like a team, yeah? But when we see, and the same in reverse, that but we should be careful when we've got some bad propositions, maybe sinful proposition from the saint people, from the saint people, absolutely saint people. Another story, and I will finish. I was started in seminary in master's degree, and we were traveling from my city to seminary city on my car. I was using, and four of us were usually in my car, so we were traveling very often. One day, policemen stopped us, and they said that it was a fine for my speed limit. And we are sitting doing what we got to do. Free saint people in the car. And we are thinking, what we got to do? And I said, you know, we've got to pay the fine. But the policeman, he didn't want to get a fine. He wanted to get the money, a cash, as the same. It's awful situation, yeah. But anyway, the story is about that we are sitting in the silence. And then one brother said, maybe we should give him money, you know? And so, come on! We are just started some Bible stories. We are reading, we were preaching, we were, you know, reading their different books. And now we decided to make small scene. So we said, no, it's not our choice. We decided, no, we will wait. So we were waiting as well a long time, I would say. And maybe God sent another car which stopped next to us. And they quickly decided to pay cash to that policeman. And we were witnesses of that situation. And when policeman turned around and noticed that we are looking through about this, he said, all right, go away. And we left. So we didn't pay. We didn't pay even fine. But we tried to be strong. But not all of us. Not all of us. That's why sometimes Satan can come to us and find some weakness and will do it, will push it, will press on our weakness. That's why we should be prepared, we should be in good spiritual condition. So those two trees in the garden, in Eden, they made that we've got a sinful nature today. That's why we need a salvation. That's why every person coming to this world need savior, need to accept a savior, need to grab that fruit from the tree of life. And it is free. It is free. We shouldn't pay cash to someone. We shouldn't pay to our God. He already paid for us. And at the end of third chapter, it is said that he put cherubim at the entrance of Eden to avoid they could grab that fruit beans in sinful nature. That's why so many thousands of years left, and only after that Jesus Christ came and he organized a path to that Eden tree to grab that fruit of life. And today, we who, some of us, I think most of us, we already utilize that fruit, but we should share with that past with our friends, with our maybe neighbors. We should share those keys, as it said to Peter. I give you a key. What key? Key, this is a message. If we don't say message, they don't have a key. They don't know how to get that Eden, how to find that proper tree with the fruit which gives life. May God us bless to make right choice every time during our temptation in our life. Amen.